B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Greeny, I wish I had some better news, but the pessimism is really growing. The reality is taking hold, and it's really manifested itself in the talks that the owners are currently having with the players. And the reason they're talking is because they've got to decide to do with the salaries that they have coming due the rest of this calendar year. And the way the owners are negotiating, what they're asking for, is essentially to build a fund that would help shelter the losses for a loss season. I guess you could sum it up by saying they're preparing for the worst, hoping for the best. That doesn't mean that they're going to push the button and say cancel anytime soon, but it's very clear that from a financial standpoint, that's what they're looking at. And the talks that they're having with the players, Greeny, none of them are about restarting. They're all about dealing with the financial situation. It's really depressing. And the thing is, and I know that President Trump had a call with the commissioners over the weekend. I didn't hear anything out of that call. Maybe it was just kept secret about testing. I'm going to say this very clearly. Testing, testing, testing. Forget about fans in arenas. Forget about bubbles. The only way this is happening is with mass testing that is available, political free, where you don't have to worry about taking it away from somebody who needs it, and you can get quick results. Until there's testing, everything that we're talking about here is pie in the sky. Right. That's the reality that has shown us in Asia. That's the reality the NBA has.
Well, that's not very encouraging. Brian Windhorst, ESPN. That was this morning. He said the same thing basically Friday night. So there was no movement from Friday night to Monday morning. And, you know, why there might be is because they all had that conference call with Trump there on Saturday. So it's hour number two, Felger and Mavs, presented by DraftKings. Big Jim Murray in our Town Fair Tire studios. And we, you know, the key part there, and again, Reentry Monday is brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. The key part there is that, you know, there's these extensive talks between the players and the league, and it's all about finding a settlement for if they cancel all the games this year. How do they handle the money and the cap and all of that, Mavs? That's not encouraging.
No, it isn't. And the only thing I look at is, you know, maybe there is some leveraging going on there. In other words, you know, maybe the owners look at it and say, well, you know, they want more than we want to pay them if we only play, you know, 25% of what's left, whatever. You get the idea. And so I wonder whether there, you know, there's always that element at play that, well, we're really pessimistic because the players aren't cooperating. And so, but I think we all also know the reality here that, you know, it's gonna take a lot for games in any sport to be played.
So the thing is, what's interesting is that, you know, Trump again is pushing them to come back, says he wants them back soon, wants them back sooner than later, wants the NFL to start on time, but he wants all these leagues to get going and to do it as soon as they can. And they're, you know, his push coming out of that call was positive, you know, was positive. But I haven't heard anyone else pick up on that. I haven't heard anyone else, you know, I mean, and you know, even any other reporting on it. So either that's just sort of, they're just sort of putting out false hope to keep morale up, which I'm not 1,000% against, by the way. You know, like, I don't know who that's really harming by leaving the possibility of getting these leagues back up and running. Like, and if they don't, they don't, right? I mean, it's okay. We're planning to do it. We want to do it. We're looking to do it. We're trying to find ways to do it. And if at the end of the day they can't do it, they can't do it. And in the meantime, I don't know who you've hurt by putting out there that you still think this can come back. So, like, I'm actually okay with that. But that might be what's going on. That it's just put out there as a carrot to keep people occupied or keep their hopes up or keep morale up. And really, there's no chance of them coming back. Are you afraid of that, Murray?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I've obviously been all for optimism during this bleak time, even the forced optimism like you're getting from Roger Goodell in the NFL. But, I mean, the reality is the virus is going to dictate the timeline, period, and how this thing plays out. And it just, you know, I'm all for hearing and reading about, well, we can get testing done. Maybe it can be quicker and be faster. And we can have some of these players where we're going to isolate them in a place like Vegas in the NBA or, you know, it just – it. I'm all for them trying to hammer through, find a way, but it just comes down to that. The virus dictates the timeline. We can hope, we can try to figure it out, but if this thing keeps going on and it goes through the summer, they're going to probably have to cancel.
Yeah, and there's no question that testing or treatment is going to be crucial. Someone's got to come up with something. Someone's got to come up with something, a groundbreaking test that there's broad access to, as Windhorst sort of said, political free. And what he meant was, you know, it's going to be bad optics if people are out there looking for tests and the NBA has all these tests to test everyone every day before they walk in the building, and they just have reams and reams and reams of tests. I mean, even the league's gotten criticized as it is that they had their guys tested, you know, when they shut it down 3 weeks ago. Never mind if they come back and there's still people suffering out there who can't get testing, and the NBA's just bursting at the seams with testing. So that's bad politics, is that sort of what he meant, which is true. Like, you know, I said before, I'm okay if they get tested before I do. I'm not okay if they get tested before people who need it do and people who are suffering do. And, you know, that's not just bad optics. That's not just bad politics. That's bad. That's just that's not what you want, period.
Well, it's inhumane, really.
Yes, exactly.
It is. Yeah.
So I read a Wall Street Journal column over the weekend, sort of picked up on what we said yesterday, like, you know, the return of these sports. It's one thing if they can, and again, it does feel pie in the sky, but if they can hermetically seal what amounts to TV studios, no fans in the stands, put up a basketball court in a ballroom, in a, you know, little arena, put up a hockey rink in a practice facility, and just have it be a glorified TV studio, that's one thing. But sports, with the buildings and people back in the buildings, that's the one that I think we are a ways away from. And the Wall Street Journal article really hit on it. The headline, the big question for sports, when will you feel safe around 20,000 strangers again? I mean, just think about it. I mean, have you been out on walks? Have you been out on walks where you're walking down the sidewalk and you come up to someone on the sidewalk and we all cross the street? Like, they cross, you cross, and it's like, that's just, you don't want to cross on the sidewalk with two people. Never mind sit in a stadium shoulder to shoulder with 20 of them.
Correct.
Anyway, there's three authors. They write, sports will be back. At some point in the possibly distant future, athletes will head back to work in arenas, ballparks, and stadiums, and leagues will promise a return to normalcy. There will finally be something to watch on television again. But there are some people who might not be ready so quickly. The fans. They write, sports will only be normal once the public decides it's socially and psychologically acceptable to be around thousands of strangers again. They write, the coronavirus has caused so much damage and behaves so unpredictably that major events are canceled deep into the summer. It's no longer a given that play will resume this year. Quote, until you're widely vaccinated, Bill Gates said, those may not come back at all. And again, Gates has been ahead of this stuff for years. He's been warning of pandemics for years. He's built up funds and funding for pandemics. That's been one of his big causes here for years. And he, once again, was proven prescient on this one. And he says, until you're widely vaccinated, those mass gatherings, they may not come back at all. That's what I'm really worried about with sports, Maz, those mass gatherings. Eventually, we're going to figure out the TV studio and get them back on TV, I think. The stadiums, when are you going to be ready to hop back into a stadium again?
Yeah, I don't know. And you know what? Look, again, we focus on the sports part of it, but use that same logic and apply it to any one of a million things. Going to the movies, theater, concerts, you know, these sorts of things. So, and these are the ways that, you know, we've lived without a second thought in the past. So I think a lot of that is going to change. I mean, I maybe in some ways, for the better, because let's face it, how many times are you standing there and someone sneezes within 2 feet of you and you're like, holy crap, like, all right, I get it. So, but in terms of the business of the sport and the arenas and the stadiums, I think it's going to take a while. I think this one really, is, with good reason, resonating with people, and people are scared.
So President Trump told the commissioners of sports leagues on Saturday that he wants fans at games soon, very soon. I want fans back in arenas, Trump said, and the fans want to be back too. But, writes the Journal, the primary challenge for the business is not political or financial. It's behavioral. And they point to this. It isn't just because fans will have less disposable income to spend on sports tickets. It's also become clear that the outbreak of coronavirus in northern Italy was turbocharged by a soccer game between Atlantia, I'm sorry, how do you pronounce that, and Valencia in Milan on February 19th. Fans who attended other matches are now wondering if they are sitting on their own time bomb. So again, there was a match in mid-February in northern Italy that people think was sort of this, lit the match on that outbreak in Italy. And it's the fans in the stands, Maz. I think it could be the last thing to come back in all of society. I mean, honestly, it's like, first you got to get the testing or the treatment or the vaccinations. Then it's, the first things are work, the workplace, schools, then like public buildings, office buildings, courthouses. I mean, just all those things. I think the last thing on the list is the arenas for sports and concerts, right? And boy, I'm not telling you it's not possible, but if that's going to happen at some point by the end of the summer, that's a quick turnaround. I'm still hoping for it. They should still shoot for it. But I think that's the last thing we're going to see.
I mean, just take a good look around when you're in a football stadium. Look at how closely people are packed together, right? I mean,
and like, how dirty we are.
Yeah, right. It's not something you typically have paid a lot of attention to in the past because you're focused on the event. You accept the reality of being there shoulder to shoulder, really. I mean, there's not much space between people in those stadiums and arenas. And, to me, I think that's going to be a massive, massive adjustment.
Okay. You had a problem with Trump saying we want them back in the arenas and we want it soon. We want it very soon. Does anyone have a problem with that? Your thoughts on this? We'll mix it in with the draft talk and the Stidham talk. It's 617-779-0985 to you right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Filger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
We have to get back to work. We have to open our country again. We have to open our country again. We don't want to be doing this for months and months and months. We're going to open our country again. This country wasn't meant for this. Few were, but we have to open our country again. I just spoke with the commissioners, leaders of, I would say, virtually all of the sports leagues. Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, Major League Baseball. Roger Goodell, Commissioner of the National Football League. Adam Silver, Commissioner of the National Basketball Association. Gary Bettman, Commissioner of the National Hockey League. Jay Monahan, Commissioner of the PGA Tour. Kathy Engelbert, Commissioner of the Women's National Basketball Association. Dana White, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Vince McMahon, President of the WWE. Don Garber, Commissioner of Major League Soccer. Steve Phelps, President of NASCAR. Michael Wan, Commissioner of the LPGA. Roger Penske, founder and chairman, Penske Corp. And Drew Fleming, president of the Breeders' Cup. And there are a couple of others on. And these are all the great leaders of sport. And they want to get back. They got to get back. They can't do this. Their sports weren't designed for it. The whole concept of our nation wasn't designed for it. We're going to have to get back. We want to get back soon, very soon.
So that was Trump on Saturday. I'll tell you what. I must have time on my hands because I watched over an hour of his Saturday press briefing, which I haven't really done. I mean, obviously I'm seeing more of him now in this time, but I sort of disassociate myself from politics for a while, so I never really watched any of his press briefings during the impeachment or anything. So I don't see much of it. I sat down for over an hour and watched his briefing on Saturday afternoon. Yeah, piece of work, that guy. And he's getting hammered for a lot of things, and I don't think he deserves to get hammered for everything, by the way. Like, there's a couple things that I think that he's getting criticized for that I don't think he quite deserves. Like, this whole thing, Maz, you heard him say, I think it's because he was parroting maybe even a Fox News host who said it first, but this thing about the cure can't be worse than the disease, you know, he keeps saying this. I don't think he's totally wrong about that. I don't think he's totally wrong. I think he's going to have a hard time getting that message across because there's so many people who distrust him and dislike him. And, you know, I don't know if he's got quite the chops to articulate it in the way. And not that I do either. But I don't think I don't think he's totally wrong to say that. Do you have a thought on that before I go on?
Well, look, I'll just say I think a big part of the problem with him is that the message just comes out in a dopey fashion. There's just no other way to say it. He's just such a horrible public speaker. But look, as it pertains to these leagues, I think a lot of what he said with regard to his conversation with the commissioners over the weekend was right. I think that these leagues do need to get back. I think they're an important part of our society. And when I say that, I'm not saying it just because I'm a sports fan. I would also say that the ways that we seek entertainment are, they're important outlets for people. It allows us in many ways to break up the monotony of day-to-day life and do things that we like and want to do. It translates into happiness for people. And I also think it can help bond people together when you're talking about sports. And I think right now people need things to look forward to. And I think it's going to get worse or more important for sports to fill that role the longer this thing goes on.
I see absolutely nothing wrong with trying to push these leagues back. There's nothing wrong with that. The only thing that would be wrong is restarting before we're ready. Okay, that would be wrong. If these leagues come back or we start or people start going into buildings or even just, doing these things without fans before we're ready, that would be wrong. But pushing them to get to that point isn't wrong. Push, 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 push. Get back, come back, get back, come back. And you take it as far as you can. And if you can't do it, you can't do it safely, or if you're putting other people at risk or you're diverting resources from people who really need them and you shouldn't do it, then let's not do it. But there's nothing wrong with pushing in the short term for it. And so I don't blame him for that whatsoever. I do wish that I, heard this somewhere other than him. And that's not a criticism of him. I'm saying if it were really realistic, I'd like to think that I would have heard something leak out from that call, that there was some sort of master plan or they know something we don't, and somehow somewhere, if there were 12 freaking commissioners on that, if Vince McMahon was on that call, Jimmy, how does Vince McMahon get on that GD call?
So I'm glad you brought that up, because I said the same. What's McMahon doing on that call, really? Please.
Vince McMahon and Donald Trump have had a long-standing relationship. Donald Trump, WWE Hall of Famer. That's okay. How strong the relationship is. They've made a lot of money together.
It's not a sports league, but either way.
Yeah, but the other thing too, Mike, is WWE is still running programming, so they're having athletes compete in the ring, combat sports in front of no fans, so maybe Vince has some insight as to how they are doing it.
Yeah, between him and Dana White of the UFC, which is also going on without fans, like, I thought it was smart to have those two on that call, because it's like, well, you guys are doing it, tell these other ones how you're doing it.
Okay, well, whatever. Fine. It's just, I was trying
Mike, I think your problem is you're afraid that Vince is going to screw it up and it's going to set us back a year.
No, not at all. I was just doing it to bust your balls.
Okay, thank you.
You might as well have to say, if Vince is going to be on there, might as well get on the Screen Actors Guild, for crying out loud.
Right. This is good stuff, pal.
The point is, push and push and push. The only thing I'd have a problem with, and we should have a problem with, is if they actually come back when they shouldn't. But there's nothing wrong with talking it out and planning it and trying to figure it out. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I'm actually glad Trump's pushing them. Good. Push them. Just don't do something that's going to put people in jeopardy. And if that happens, then I think, you know, we have the right to be upset, or you have the right to be upset. But, you know, not in the short term. Not in just the planning stage. All right, so you can weigh in on this. You can weigh in on the draft, whatever you want. As promised, let's go to Paul in Quincy on this topic. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, yeah, I was calling about what Trump said. I think that's the problem. I think we're pushing it too soon. And I would rather just let everything not happen this year at all to be on the safe side. Because how much of a buffer zone do you need to put between when you think the virus is on the downslope or over to when you start up all these sports?
So I don't know, Paul, are you a doctor or an infectious disease guy?
Not at all, but that's what I'm saying. I'd be nervous that, God forbid, that a player in any, I mean, forget the fans. Like you said, you can start it up without the fans, but what if an athlete gets sick?
But this is what I'm saying. I'm going to defer to Fauci. I'm going to defer to the guys who know, and I'm going to defer to those guys. And if they say, if they give a green light, they give a green light. If they don't give the green light, shouldn't go forward. They're not giving the green light right now. I'm not telling you we should start playing now. We're not even close. I don't feel like we're close at all. But this thing came on quickly. If by some bit of good luck or just the aptitude of our scientists and doctors, this turns the corner quickly and it's a different situation in the summer, then I think we should push forward. We should push forward with everything that we can. And that's sort of what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I don't know when the right time is or when the right time's not.
Yeah, but when the right people give the green light, that's when we should start, you know, the discussions are happening now, and we should start to try to get back to a normal society, and that includes sports.
Thank you.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you know, relating it to the overall picture, and I understand what the caller's saying. At the same time, the unemployment numbers in this country have doubled in a week from 3.5 million to 6.5 million, or 3.3 to 6.6, or whatever it was. And they're only going to continue growing. So you now have, you know, an offshoot of this whole thing that is creating a whole different, significant set of problems. And you got to try to find a way to mitigate that. And sports are a part of it.
Ryan in Grafton joins us next on the Patriots Draft. Hi, Ryan.
Yeah, hi, guys. I have two quick points. The first pick of the draft should go to the team that gives us the most compensation for it, and the Patriots should trade back. Get a quarterback in later rounds, like Maz was saying, or you can still get a quarterback that's on the that got released, or there might be more backup quarterbacks or other quarterbacks that get released as a result of the draft. So I think they should trade
back. Okay, so I'm just going to drop because your phone's not good enough. What are you scoffing at there, Murr?
The world has changed, but the terrible phone calls remain. I couldn't understand a damn thing he said.
Did he say trade the first round pick?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, he did. And then, look, this is a theory that a lot of people have, right? The Patriots don't have a second, so they could trade out of the first. They get themselves a second and then maybe a later round pick or something of the like. And then he said the other thing that, you know, depending on what teams do in the draft, if teams get the quarterback they want in the draft, that maybe that expands the QB market after the draft, and teams like the Patriots then will have more people to pick from.
Okay, so, I mean, that was McShay's sort of point, that they're going to be very patient and just see what shakes out. The question is, shakes out from the draft, shakes out of the veteran ranks, or, as you just sort of point out, Maz, someone else drafts somebody and now someone else is available. Detroit, at 3, goes Tua. And all of a sudden, is Matt Stafford available, right?
Correct.
Like, that's something that we've talked about before. So that McShay thing today on Stidham was different. That's for sure. He says Stidham will not be ready. According to the people he has spoken to in the Patriots organization, Stidham will not be ready this year. And they're going to be patient and see what shakes out. So that's what we're talking about. Talking about the Patriots draft, the return of sports, all of it is on the table on a reentry Monday, which is presented, Maz, by East Boston Savings Bank.
Yep, maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage or a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit ebsb.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray with the latest.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Filger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
There comes a point where you go too far, where you start to look at damaging two seasons. And that is what the NBA is trying to evaluate. And they do have runway here. I do think that they could, if they had to, go into August or September to finish this season. But I'm not sure they feel confident about that right now. And a big factor is testing. We just don't have the testing. At some point, not only does it have to be a test that's quick and can evaluate whether a player is healthy enough to enter a game, you have to know whether you have the tests available so that you're not taking them away from people who need them. And so right now, that's not here. If in 6 or 8 weeks it is here, we could have a different conversation, but the league is preparing for that answer to be known.
All right, so the league is preparing for that answer to be no. Feels like Trump is preparing for that answer to be yes. I am rooting for Trump on that one. I hope he's right. I want to come back before they're ready, but I want them to push it. I want them to push it. And it's and I'm okay with Trump pushing everything back like that. I mean, it's part of his job is to steward the economy. And so, you know, if you're not putting people in harm's way, then that's what he should be doing, we should be doing. And I'm fine with that. Your thoughts on that and the Patriots draft, and we've got the marker toss coming up as well, the return of the Felger and Maz big board. But first, Alan in Florida. Hi, Alan.
Yes. Hey, Mike?
Yes.
I got to say, you just mentioned, I want to tell you, this president has never, you know, first of all, you know how I love sports, especially baseball, want to watch the Bruins in the Stanley Cup, love it. This man has never said anything truthful in his whole life. He's a horrible, disgusting, pathological liar. I mean, he makes me sick to my stomach.
Right, but that's not going to get us anywhere, Alan.
No, but Mike, why should he be worrying and talking to the presidents of leagues when people, I mean, he has to do is talk to the commissioner of wrestling or something?
What's wrong with that?
President.
I mean, my God, this is a nauseating, disgusting, sorry excuse.
Okay. All right. Alan, you're politically biased. If you want to do that, go somewhere else. Okay. I was going to say call Howie, but I don't, who's his liberal equivalent? We don't have liberal sports talk radio. We don't have liberal talk radio. I don't know who you would call. That's not getting us anywhere. You're just bashing Trump. He should be talking to the commissioners. These are hugely important things, institutions in our lives. These are, you know, they involve tons of people, both live and on television, and I have no problem with him talking to the commissioners. I want him talking to the commissioners, trying to get him back. This is what I want him doing, and I don't want it a priority. He should have, I don't know, 10 other things on his list, but after he gets through with those 10, he can do this. It's fine with me. I want him to.
So, look, one of the things that has bugged me about this whole thing is that, you know, we're in the middle of what is a global crisis, and yet a lot of people still want to focus on the political spat and,
right,
you know, the political jostling and lancing of one another. And I just, honestly, that's not, I mean, I have beliefs about it, but it's not something we typically do on this show. But I will tell you that as it pertains to this, sports are important. Now look, again, we're saying that as a sports station, but I'm telling you, independent of that part of it, and people probably don't think that I can separate myself from it, it is something that bonds a community. It's something that bonds an entire country, for crying out loud. The Super Bowl is one of the biggest events of the year in this country because it brings people together. It's a social event as much as it is anything else, maybe more so. And so if one of the ways that the president looks at it and says it'll boost morale, it'll help get businesses going, there's a lot that can come that is productive out of getting these sports back on the field and back in the arena, I don't think he's wrong.
So just try and check your political, you know, I mean, it's hard to totally leave your politics at the door, but for the sake of the conversation, try, okay? All of you. because it's just that I can't take. I mean, it's either you crying about ripping Trump or ripping Trump. Like, let's just talk about the matter at hand, okay? We're a sports show. We're sports fans. If you're listening to us, that's what you are. You want these things back. And there's nothing wrong with the president trying to push these leagues back. It would be wrong to bring them back before we were ready. But that hasn't happened. No one's done that yet. He's just pushing them back, which is fine. I want him doing that. Christian in Fall River. Go ahead, Christian.
How you doing, guys? First time, long time. Big fan of you guys. Now, listen, every year we get Mel Kiper and that bozo, Todd McShay, come around talking this and that. Are these guys ever held accountable for what they say later on?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like they come around. We have to listen to everything they say. And second of all, I just want to ask you guys really quick. What's your craziest experience with the Bill Belichick or something when you had to ask him questions when you guys were doing your thing there?
What's my craziest personal experience? Well, let me leave that one to the side, first of all. The thing about the mock drafts, it's ridiculous.
They're like meteorologists.
Really? Oh,
there's nothing dumber than pre-draft talk, which is why we mock it with the Felger and Maz big board. This is the whole point, that you're just as likely to tell and predict who the Pats are going to draft by chucking markers at a magazine as you are by McShay and Kiper going over all the film and writing out all their reports and the heavy hands and the wiggly slot receivers. It's all nonsense. It's garbage, which is why we mock it, except for this year. This year we embrace it because what else do we have? We're going to talk about a defensive end's heavy hands and a slot receiver's wiggly nature. And so we're going to embrace it. But they're never helicopter. It's a perfect example. Weatherman. Right. Exactly. Always wrong. But McShay on the Stidham thing is different. That's not telling me who they're going to draft. No one knows that. Right. Everyone's wrong about that. McShay hearing from people he talks to in the Patriots organization that say Stidham's not ready. That's sort of different, and I take more seriously, and I do put stock in that, Maz.
Oh, no question about it. Look, again, to me, and the other reason I put stock in it is because, Mike, this belief has been out there before, which is that Stidham's development is not complete. He's sort of a work in progress here. Greg Bedard told us that at the end of the season. He didn't think Stidham was necessarily ready yet, and that more importantly, that the Patriots didn't think he was ready yet, that he was on a similar path to Garoppolo, who didn't play until year three. Stidham is still a full year removed from that. To me, that's a significant piece of information.
Alex on the South Shore, quickly.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on curbing this the crisis right now. I don't think, Felger, I disagree with you kind of that the president shouldn't be pushing this politics aside. I think he should be suppressing everything nationwide 4 to 6 weeks. Because if they don't do that, yet we might be able to alter the curve here in Massachusetts, but then now there's a hot spot in Louisiana. Or they'll be able to make an effect out in California or Washington, but then now it's Florida, Georgia, et cetera. And as long as that we don't attack this as a complete nation and we keep doing this regionally, sports will never come back. It won't come back until there's a vaccine, because there's always going to be someplace new that it pops up.
It's a good point. And that is one of my criticisms of this Trump administration, is that it's just haphazard. It's, you know, they're leaving it all up to the states and the federal government saying we're your backup. And I'd like to see the federal government lead on that. So, like, yes, I agree with that. So I wish he was doing that. But that's a whole different – that's a news political conversation. I don't think there's anything wrong. And that's fine, too. I don't think there's anything – I wish he was doing that, okay? So go do that. But then on the side, get the commissioners together and tell them, try and come back. Do everything you can to come back. I still don't think there's anything wrong with that. It'd be easier, though, if he did the first thing. You know, I'll agree with that, Maz, if you had a thought there.
No, absolutely it'd be easier if you did the first thing. No question about it.
You know, because you're probably going to get in a spot where, you know, certain states are open for business, certain states are closed. Like, you know, President Trump on Saturday said, I want him back soon, very soon. And the reports came out that, you know, by the late, he wants the NFL starting on time, right? Which is August, September, if you include the preseason. And out in California, they immediately asked Gavin Newsom, the governor out there, and he said, that ain't going to happen here. I don't see that happening here. But in Tennessee, is it going to happen? You know, like that's unfortunate. I agree with that big point. But otherwise, pushing the leagues to come back and talking about it and trying to plan it out, I don't see any harm in that. I really don't. The Felger Mass Big Board is going to return now. This is a big day for us. Last Friday, my draft magazines arrived. I've got them. I got two of them. Okay, normally we sit in the studio there in Dorchester, and Maz and Murray chuck markers at me, and wherever it lands is a prediction of who the Patriots are going to pick. Obviously, we can't all be in studio right now, so I'm going to have my 8-year-old chuck markers at me out here in my backyard, and we'll pick guards. We'll start with the most boring. We'll try to get those boring positions out of the way first, Maz. We're going to start with guard today. We'll do, because we have 2.5 weeks to go until the freaking draft. We usually don't start this. We don't start this early usually, but. You know, obviously we need the content, so we're going to start with guards. Tomorrow we'll do centers, then we'll do tackles, then we'll do defense. We'll get all the fat, boring people out of the way first, okay?
It's a great idea. No, typically we do. We just we lump all the offensive linemen together. We put all the fat guys in a dump truck.
All right, the Felger Mass Big Board returns next. We shoot for guards.
Felger Mass. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oop. Jake Biquette from Arkansas.
Okay.
If they pick a Z receiver, it's going to be Aaron Dobson out of Marshall.
The New England Patriots select Aaron Dobson, wide receiver, Marshall.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, wow!
What does that mean, Maz? Is that good or is that bad?
Oh, I heard rumors about him.
What kind of rumors?
That he was on their radar.
With the 67th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, your New England and my New England Patriots select Jimmy Garoppolo.
Trey Flowers out of Arkansas.
Number 101 overall, the New England Patriots select Trey Flowers.
God!
Cyrus Jones from Alabama.
Oh, Nick Saban connection.
He's projected as a 4th-round pick.
With the 60th selection, the New England Patriots select Cyrus Jones.
Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, God.
North Carolina State projects as a 4th-round pick.
If his name's Jacoby, he's soft.
That guy has no shot.
The New England Patriots here at number 91, Jacoby Brissett, a quarterback.
Isaiah Wynn from Georgia.
With the 23rd pick, the New England Patriots select Isaiah Wynn, tackle, Georgia.
Hakeel Harry?
Oh, N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal?
The New England Patriots select N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, Arizona State.
J-O-E-J-U-A-N, JoJuan Williams from Vanderbilt.
I think it's Jawan.
Looks like it's JoJuan.
The champs select Juwan Williams, DB, Vanderbilt.
All right, welcome back. Felger and Maz, it's that time of year. We're going to start it a little earlier than we normally do because, again, we need the content. I'm coming to you from my backyard. Maz coming to you on remote as well. Big Jim Murray in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Usually we're chucking markers at each other across the studio, but times being what they are, this is what I've been reduced to. The woods got the camera in the backyard. This is my daughter, Tess. Are we coming through? Are we up? Can you see us?
Yeah,
we can see you. Yep, looks okay. Great.
All right, I've got my 2 draft magazines. I got the Lindy Sports Pro Football Draft 2020, and I got my Athon. We're going to chuck at 3 guards. We're going to start with guards. We'll get the biggest, fattest, most boring players out of the way. We'll hit 3 guys, and then we'll come back and discuss them. Okay, Maz, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's roll.
Okay, Tess, we're going to hit 1 on the first page. Let her rip. Chuck it. Okay? Don't be afraid, girl. Hit it. Ah, okay. That's one of them.
Top left.
Yep, Ben Brendanson from Michigan. We'll get back to him in a second. Okay, that was the big one. Ben Brendanson of Michigan. Let's go page 2, Tess, all right? Let her rip again. Don't be shy there, girlfriend. Go! You missed. That's not good. Come on.
Atta girl.
Hit it. Oh, that's horrible. Hit the magazine. Okay, there we go. We got one. We got down here the whoever this guy is. Hold on 1 second. Okay, Solomon Kinley from Georgia. Okay.
Oh, we like them.
Oh, we do? Oh, yeah. Another Georgia guy.
Another fat guy from Great. Georgia.
All right. Here's Paige. So this is my Athon guide. Okay, Tess, you got to hit something on this page here. Hit it. Okay. Feels like you got something there. Okay.
All right. Good job, Tess.
Calvin Throckmorton. That's it. We're done. Good job. Okay. We made a little bit of a mess. Let me get set back up here on the camera, and we'll discuss. Thanks, Wood. Good job, kid. There's the Wood.
I can't wait till we get to the scouting reports. But the Patriots have had, I mean, depending on what you would define as good success, they have had plucked some guys from Georgia, right? Isn't Andrews a Georgia guy, too?
Yeah, that's
David
right.
Andrews went to Georgia, right? Yep. And obviously Isaiah Wynn, the original fat kid from Georgia.
Well, Maz, you want them drafting a guard, huh?
Well, I said, wait a minute. I said, I want an interior lineman. Ideally, I want a center who can play guard or vice versa. So I just think there's a major need there because I'm worried about Andrews.
Okay. Well, here we go. Here are the guys that we picked. First is Ben Brendison.
Best Patriots coverage in the business.
Now, what are you making an allusion to there?
Isn't that William Bendenson? On the midday show every once in a while?
Yeah, explain to people what it is. Ben Bredesen. I don't know if okay, Bredesen. He's from Michigan. He is, according to Lindy's, the top guard on the board. Okay?
Oh.
The other magazine has him way down, but this is the top guy on the board. A third-team All-American in 2019 with 46 career starts and multiple honors at Michigan for his toughness and academic success. Bredesen, I got to figure out how to pronounce this name, is a strong bet to be a first-round pick, voted a two-time team captain and three-time All-Big Ten selection. Bredesen did not allow a sack or quarterback hit in 451 offensive snaps as a senior. How about that?
Wow.
Pretty good.
Did not allow one hit on the quarterback. All right. Strengths.
Well, I like his initials.
He's a boulder on roller skates, Maz, with a blocky, thick, square frame.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, I like my block is to be blocky.
He moves well on light feet, eager to hit something. He has terrific initial quickness and agility, easily sliding laterally to mirror pass rushers or to adjust late to blitzes and stunts. He's light enough on his feet to consider at tackle, using short, quick steps to remain square and in front of opponents without risking a loss of stance or loss of balance. Excuse me.
Does it say how tall he is?
Yeah. He is 6'4", 325. They need a little bit more size there. Boy, 6'4", that's big for a guard, eh?
Yeah.
So maybe he's eager to hit. Tackle, and they put the fat kid from Georgia on the inside.
And eager to hit something. He's a meathead.
Okay, so weaknesses. he's a better football player than athlete. Yeah, who needs an athletic car? Better football player. Yeah, better football player than athlete. He gains ground efficiently with short, choppy steps, but tops out quickly and possesses just average speed for the position. Slightly shorter than some teams would prefer, 6'4". Played exclusively at left guard for Michigan, raising questions about projecting him to other positions in the NFL. Okay, so put him on the board, Ben Bredesen.
Yeah, choppy steps, Felga. He runs like he swims.
Okay, here comes another one. Solomon Kinley. Kinley, yeah, from Georgia. Another 6'4", 335-pound guy. Kinley has a relentless motor and a mean streak that offensive line coaches will love. Do the Patriots have an offensive line coach?
No, not currently.
No, they don't have a line coach. Okay, so presuming the Patriots get one of those, they should like him because he has a relentless motor. Yo, listen to this. Oh, these write-ups are so dumb. Oh, God. He plays to the echo of the whistle, Maz.
Echo.
He doesn't just play to the whistle. He waits for that thing to echo before he stops.
Yeah, he gives it 110. He's got a motor.
He plays to the echo of the whistle. Hey, keeps a good base underneath him in the run game, and his first punch is violent. Keeps his eyes up in pass protection, and typically does a good job at picking up interior stunts. Solomon Kinley's weaknesses. occasionally relies too much on his powerful frame and loses technique. He tends to be slow, dragging his big frame to get to linebackers on the second level.
Uh-oh, okay. A fat klutz.
Coaches love a mean streak, but he can get hot-headed and lose his cool against opposing defenders. Mostly a power blocker and doesn't fit into the predominantly zone schemes that are prevalent at the next level.
Flag waiting to happen, too.
Remember, they couldn't get guys out to the second level to block last year. The last thing they need is a fat guy with no speed who's going to fall all over himself.
Okay, put him on the board. Let me just do the last one. This Calvin Throckmorton. Sounds like a freaking British royal, doesn't he? Calvin Throckmorton.
I was a guard at Oregon. I might be a big boy, but it's a position they gave me. Calvin Throckmorton.
Boy, I thought 6'4 was big. He's not. This guy's 6'5, so I guess even guards are bigger than they used to be. 6'5, Calvin Throckmorton, 6'5, 310. Strong points. He played across the line at Oregon and was effective everywhere he lined up. Throckmorton is a heady and instinctive lineman, something that came through in his reps on the inside, playing right guard and in a pitch center.
That's where I think about the blocks before I actually
block. Here you go. Here's your guy.
He's it's position flexibility, right, Maz?
Absolutely, yeah. And again, I want someone who can play some center.
He shows a tremendous understanding of angles and does well recognizing and reacting to defensive line games up front. He's a technician who does a nice job with hand placement with some suddenness in his initial punch, and he shows the requisite toughness to grind inside. Weak points. First thing they say, what is his position? ? That's not good. Throckmorton lacks ideal length and athleticism for the outside, and he will likely have issues anchoring against power on the inside. He's a waist bender.
He's just a waste.
safety tip. This is not, well, you know, I don't know if you want to be a waist bender, Murray. That's all I'll say. What does that mean? He's a waist bender?
He doesn't bend his knees, Felga.
Like, that is just so stupid. Oh, these things.
Quick to give it up to the sisters in Shawshank, he is.
He's a waist bender. Who overachieved on the collegiate level but will likely be exposed much more often in the NFL. Too often he sets high and sacrifices the ability to anchor. He's not going to make many plays moving out into space where he has limited range on outside zone runs. All right, this guy sounds like a stiff, but put him on the board.
Fifth round. They got 12 picks in the last two rounds. Better being a waste bender than a waste product.
Look, the Felger-Maz big board. Does not predict greatness. It only predicts who they're taking.
So
this big waist-bending stiff is probably going to be a Patriot based on our track record. So put him on the board tomorrow. We'll do tackles. We'll do it from Maz's home tomorrow. He'll come up with something as we've got to adjust being these times such as they are. Okay, we're going to reset what I think is the top story of the day, and that is a borderline whopper from Todd McShay today on ESPN telling us who's not going to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots next year. We'll pick that up in 90 seconds. No commercials, just an update here from Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.